Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Faker Rulebook by Balin Crowe. Narrated by Iggy Toma.
Chapter 1. Noah, 11 years old. Being the new kid at school sucked. The sounds of lockers clanging shut and the constant hum of chatter, broken by bursts of laughter, trailed my steps as I navigated the long, unfamiliar hallways of Blakefield Middle School. Dodging the students hurrying to last period, I followed the scuffed floors, squinting at the metal numbers mounted on the exposed red brick trim around the doors. I'd been given vague directions when I'd picked up my schedule from the office this morning, but for a school only a fifth the size of the one I'd transferred from, the layout was confusing. As the hall emptied and classroom doors closed, I quickened my pace. The bell rang, signaling I was officially late, and I groaned. After the curious stares that had followed me all morning, the last thing I needed was more attention drawn to me. Room 202. I breathed a sigh of relief at finding my science class and pulled open the heavy door. The teacher, a woman with graying hair and rosy cheeks, paused what she was saying and every set of eyes turned, trained on me while my face burned.
"Hello, can I help you?"
she asked in a bright tone that contrasted with my sullen mood. "I'm Noah Stevens," I offered quietly before passing her my schedule. She grabbed it and quickly scanned the page. Nodding, she handed it back.
"Welcome to Blakefield, Noah. I'm Mrs. Bradshaw, and I'm happy to have you in my class."
She gestured to the far side of the classroom.
"Find a seat. I'll spare you the embarrassing introduction."
Thank God. My shoulders sagged beneath the weight of my backpack. The other teachers hadn't been as generous. Scanning the room, I noted large white-topped tables with two seats each, set in rows instead of single desks. All but one was taken, and I was glad it appeared I wouldn't have to share with anyone. I trudged along the aisle of the last row and dropped my backpack by the third table before sliding into the squeaky plastic chair.
"We're going to pick up where we left off on Friday,"
Mrs. Bradshaw said before glancing at me.
"Mr. Stevens, I'll send you home with the materials to catch up if you need it. Stop by my desk on the way out."
"Yes, ma'am." I kept my eyes aimed forward, ignoring the murmurs around me. Back home, or rather what used to be home, I'd had friends. But with my parents' divorce still fresh, I couldn't muster up a smile, much less try to meet new people. One minute, it had seemed we'd been a happy family, with our portraits filling large picture frames mounted on the walls. The next, my mom, brother, and I were packing our things. Nothing made sense, and I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that my life had been uprooted simply because my parents had grown apart. Whatever that meant. I shoved the thoughts away. Mrs. Bradshaw beamed before shifting her focus over my shoulder.
"Mr. Oliveira, could you retrieve an extra textbook for our new student?"
"Sure." A voice deeper than any 11-year-old I'd met answered from behind me. His chair scraped back, and several seconds later, a heavy book thudded against my tabletop. My gaze flicked up to the guy, surprisingly tall for a seventh grader. His hair was the color of a starless night and cropped short. Wearing a red hoodie and jeans, he appeared relaxed as he casually tapped the hard book cover.
"Here, page 59.
He studied me with eyes a shade I hadn't seen before, a light brown with bright flecks of gold that glowed with warmth.
"Thanks." I hesitated because I had no idea what his name was.
"Rook," he filled in just before his lips slanted in a crooked grin. White straight teeth, minus one that slightly overlapped the other, stood out against his heavily bronzed skin. I was still self-conscious about the new braces that were doing their best to close the wide gaps in my teeth, so I held back the impulse to smile for the first time in weeks. He didn't move, and I suddenly realized he was stubbornly waiting for me to answer, as if he had all day instead of holding up the lesson. I cleared my throat and croaked,
"Noah."
Rook chuckled.
"I was beginning to think you didn't have a name other than Mr. Stevens."
He tossed me another grin before he retreated to his seat. His chair creaked in protest as he plopped back down,
and I battled the urge to glance back at him. I admitted to myself that Rook had gained my interest. There was an air of confidence that hovered around him. He was also cute, but I shook off the odd thought. Well, not so odd, but I wasn't ready to consider what that meant yet. Mrs. Bradshaw stood before the whiteboard that stretched across the front of the room.
"Let's talk about eye color."
As she spoke, it quickly became clear that I had no idea what they were working on. The lesson was on genetics, and we hadn't reached that part of the curriculum at my old school. 45 minutes later, I was relieved when the final bell rang.
"We have a quiz on Friday, so review the last 2 chapters and come prepared."
She spoke over the rustling of students shuffling around, preparing to leave. I stifled a groan at the mention of a quiz, and stuffed my book in my backpack before slinging the straps over my shoulders. As the room cleared, Mrs. Bradshaw stopped me as I passed her desk.
"Just a minute, Noah." Crap, I'd completely forgotten she'd wanted to speak to me.
Glancing at the clock, I hoped she'd keep it brief. High school let out before middle school, and my brother would be outside waiting for me. She went over the material and walked me through what I needed to catch up. My gaze strayed to the time again. She noticed.
"I don't want to keep you too long. So if you have any questions or need more instruction, we can set up short-term tutoring."
"Thanks." I took a step back and she nodded.
"Of course, just let me know."
Once I thanked her again, I hurried through the school, forgoing a stop at my locker. On my way out, I had to cross the cafeteria to reach the front entrance. Just as I cleared a glass case that took up a chunk of the wall, displaying a variety of trophies, the door to the gym swung open. I whispered a curse that would have gotten me grounded if my mother was around, as I barely stopped in time to avoid slamming into it. Oblivious to the near disaster, a guy jogged out, dressed in black and red basketball shorts with a matching sleeveless practice jersey, the colors of the Blakefield Lions. The sound of tennis shoes squeaking across the polished floor drew my attention, and I peeked into the vast room lined with slide-out bleachers. A musky odor lingered in the air, and my gaze quickly swept over the banners with the mascot printed on them that hung from the walls, and then down to the gathered basketball team at center court. I froze, staring at the player who stood a head taller than the others, giving me his profile. Rook laughed, and even from where I stood, the husky sound reached my ears. He had an easy, relaxed posture, a basketball hugged between his arm and hip. He lazily shoved a guy away before another round of laughter echoed off the walls.
"Stop standing around and line up,"
a loud voice boomed. My history teacher, who clearly held 2 positions, stepped out onto the court, appearing even more comfortable in athletic gear than he did while lecturing on world history. The interruption shook me from my curiosity, and I sprinted toward the exit. The chilly December wind slapped my cheeks the second I burst through the doors and scanned the parking lot. Trevor's old gray Explorer idled next to the curb, and he shot me an annoyed look when I popped open the door.
"Sorry, my teacher had to talk to me."
I tossed my bag into the back seat and hopped onto the worn cloth seat. My nose wrinkled at the stale scent of fast food coming from the crumpled bags that littered the floorboard as I kicked them away.
"Already in trouble?"
he asked, and I scoffed.
"Yep, that's me, the rebel."
Not even close. I was a rule follower by nature, and the idea of stirring up trouble was like a bitter pill on my tongue. I shut the stiff door and latched my seatbelt. My brother didn't need to know about my other distraction, Rook. My thoughts, preoccupied by him, were confusing. Trevor shook his head full of dark strands, a complete contrast to my golden ones, and glanced at me with eyes a darker shade of blue than mine.
"I can't wait until you get your own driver's license."
"Somewhere else to be?" I asked as he pulled away from the school. He shrugged.
"Some guys invited me to hang out."
I should have known his first day of school would have gone much better than mine. A small tendril of envy wound in my gut. Trevor had been popular back home, too, and being 5 years older than me, we didn't have a lot in common.
I can ride the bus from now on.
He snorted.
Mom would kill me, and you know it.
Trevor was probably right, but my life had become a pile of rubble. The last thing I needed was to feel like an inconvenience. My brother had also had the rug ripped from beneath him, I reminded myself. He was likely dealing with things in his own way, so I shouldn't take it personally. It was hard, though. I stared out the window, watching as the neighborhoods of my new town zipped by. I needed someone around who made me feel normal again.
Chapter 2. Noah. On Friday, a week after we'd moved in, I swayed on the wooden swing hung from our front porch. Bundled in my thick puffer coat, I soaked in the heat, warming my hands from the mug filled with hot chocolate, mini marshmallows swimming on top. The temperature had dropped now that the sun had dipped over the horizon, and the tip of my nose stung from the cold breeze carrying the scent of pine trees that heavily dotted the town. The street was quiet, peppered with random dog barks piercing the night. Most of the town would be crowding the stands at the varsity football game. Had I been back in Sapling, I'd be surrounded by my friends, playing laser tag or dropping coins in the arcade at an alarming pace. My parents said the split was mutual. But why then did he get to stay at our home while we moved to nowhere, Texas? Why hadn't I heard a single word from him since we'd left? But even if I'd been able to go back to my hometown, I wouldn't. I didn't want to see my friends either. How normal and unchanged their lives were. Trevor said lots of parents get divorced, and that I'd get over it when I was ready. I wasn't so sure. My dad had been everything to me, and now our relationship was tainted by an ugly stain of betrayal. I let out a shuddering sigh, watching as my breath puffed in a cloud of mist. Happy birthday to me, I muttered as I eyed the tangle of sad blue and white balloons securely tied to the mailbox, as it had been for the last 2 hours. Now they were only visible by the glow of a street lamp. Guilt gnawed at my stomach. My mom had been excited when she'd hung them. They matched the decorations in the house, a banner that stretched across the fireplace mantle that read Happy 12th Birthday, Noah, with more balloons tied to chairs around the dining table. I hadn't had the heart to tell her no one was coming. She had no idea I hadn't made any friends. The birthday party was more suited to a younger kid, or at least I thought so, especially if we factored in the cake my mom had baked herself that chilled in the refrigerator with icing swirled in primary colors. Even my brother had bailed to attend the game, claiming he was too old for a kid's birthday party. Honestly, he hadn't been home much since we arrived. And because I'd known him my whole life, I knew he was purposely avoiding the house. Despite what he said about our parents' divorce, I wondered if he wasn't hanging on to a sliver of denial. He'd graduate this year, so no matter where we lived, he'd head off to college next summer. The screen door creaked open, interrupting my thoughts, and I glanced up. My mom leaned against the doorframe. Her long brown hair, the same color as Trevor's, cascaded over her shoulders. Dressed in a heavy sweater, she hugged her stomach. "Aren't you cold?" Hugging my steaming cup up, I shook my head. "I'm okay." She shivered as she stepped out onto the porch. "Honey, I think you might have been right. Maybe we should have waited until tomorrow." I shrugged as she crossed the porch and gingerly took the space beside me. "It's fine. More cake for me." Her chuckle was soft, but a sad note laced her tone. "I guess I underestimated the power of Friday night football. It's like a religion or something out here. It's all everyone talks about at school." I let her believe that was the reason no one had shown up. Telling a white lie about making new friends made me uncomfortable. But she was going through too much already. I didn't want to add to the stress etched in the features of her heart-shaped face. My mom nudged my knee with hers, and I glanced at her. "Someone could show up after the game." I attempted to smile, but only managed a slight tilt of my lips. "I doubt..." "Oh," she interrupted while looking toward the road. Following her gaze, I spotted a kid jogging along the sidewalk dressed in a hoodie and sweatpants. "Hi!" My mom's voice pierced the quiet, and the startling sound caused him to stumble. He barely caught himself before he ate a faceful of pavement. I groaned as she stood abruptly, causing the liquid in my cup to almost spill in my lap. "You're here for the party, right?"
"Kill me now," I muttered under my breath.
The guy lifted his head, his face lit by the street lamp, searching until he saw my mom waving like crazy. Recognition slapped me in the face, and I prayed for a swift death. Rook Olivera, of all people, froze in front of my house. He frowned, then looked up at the balloons before squinting toward us. My cheeks flushed hot. F my effing life! I wanted to crawl into a hole, a dark, suffocating one that I'd never come out of. My thoughts were growing more morbid by the second. My mom's voice wavered. "You are here for Noah's birthday, right?" Rook glanced at me, or more like stared. Cue the most embarrassing moment in my life in 5, 4, 3, 2.
"Yeah. Hey, Noah."
Rook freaking Olivera was making his way up our driveway lined with scraggly bushes. He climbed the steps and smiled as if showing up had been his plan all along. We both knew that was a lie.
"Hi, Rook," I mumbled as I placed my drink on the glass side table.
My mom swatted at my arm, whispering, "Don't be rude, Noah." Her voice rose again as Rook stepped onto the porch. "Are you coming from the game?"
"No, ma'am. I'm not much of a football fan."
His gaze switched to mine.
"And I had other plans?"
The note of uncertainty almost made me laugh, but my mom didn't seem to catch it. "You can call me Lisa," she beamed. "And you are?"
"Rook,"
he filled in while matching her smile. "I'll leave you boys to it." She leaned down and bust a kiss to my forehead, making me wince. "Let me know when you two get hungry and I'll reheat the pizza." When she turned to go inside, I braved a look at Rook, whose lips twitched as if he was holding back a laugh.
"Shut up," I whispered. My mom would have a complete meltdown if she'd heard me.
But Rook, he chuckled, right before he took a seat next to me.
"So, happy birthday," he offered as he scratched the back of his neck. "Thanks," I replied, playing along.
It was clear he'd just been exercising, and then unexpectedly had been ambushed by my mother. The scent of salty sweat clung to his skin and clothes.
"You don't sound too excited."
He lifted one dark brow.
"You try having a freaking home birthday party at 12.
I rolled my eyes. He only shrugged.
"It's not so bad. So, what are we doing?"
Was he joking?
"You don't have to stay."
"Want me to leave?" He frowned. "Did I? My mom might just cry. And the idea of hanging out with Rook didn't sound terrible."
"I didn't say that. But I don't want you to feel like you have to."
"I showed up, didn't I?" He replied with a shrug.
"So, want to toss a ball around?"
"Only if you want me to show up at school on Monday with a black eye," I scowled. "I thought you didn't like football anyway." His smile widened, eyes creasing at the sides.
"Did your mom plan activities or something?"
"No, thank God." A small mercy that I greedily accepted. "You play any games?"
"Basketball."
He scanned our driveway.
"But I don't see a hoop."
I already knew that, but decided to keep that particular detail to myself. "I meant video games."
"Oh, sure."
He shrugged.
"Sometimes when I go to Jake's."
Though I'd never spoken to him, I knew Jake was part of the popular crowd Rook hung out with at school.
"I have a PlayStation," I said.
If I could get him to hang out for 30 minutes, my mom would be satisfied, and then he could pretend like he never stopped by.
"Sounds good."
He kicked off the porch, forcing the swing back before sending us swooping forward.
"So why didn't anyone else show up?"
I shrugged and lied, figuring it was fine because he'd lied first.
No idea. Are we playing or what?
Only if you don't mind losing.
His grin was smug, a cocky twist of his lips that I imagined falling right off his face when he realized I was the superior player. Rook may have had one up on me in sports, but we were about to enter my playground.
Sorry, Rook, but you don't stand a chance.
His eyes sharpened as he pressed his feet to the ground, stopping the swing so quickly the force nearly sent me toppling off. He stood and cracked his knuckles.
Oh, it's on, Noah Stevens. Challenge accepted.
I rolled my eyes. Your funeral. The determined set of Rook's jaw was so similar to the one he adopted when it came to basketball, and his competitive nature took over. I recognized it from furtively watching him practice when I stayed after school for tutoring with Mrs. Bradshaw. When I stood, he followed as I opened the rattling screen door. I hesitated before stepping inside. Our house wasn't much to look at. Most of our furniture had been left behind at the two-story brick home we'd moved from, into the small three-bedroom built in the 70s with paneled sides. Now our living room held a second-hand couch gifted by my grandparents, and a weathered coffee and end table set that wobbled on uneven legs. The short carpet showed well-worn paths, and the kitchen appliances, visible due to the open floor plan, were so dated they'd taken on a yellow hue. It didn't help that my mom had decided on a yellow color scheme to brighten up the place. I tried to hold back a wave of self-consciousness, wondering how it would look from his point of view. And then I felt horrible, because my mom was doing the best she could, and some kids didn't have homes at all. Rook tapped me on the shoulder from behind me.
You're sort of blocking the door. What's up?
I glanced over my shoulder.
My house isn't that great.
His brow furrowed.
So? Neither is mine.
My brows rose in surprise.
Really?
He scoffed, the sound raspy in my ears.
Dude, I live one street over. It's not exactly a fancy neighborhood.
How did I not know that? The idea of Rook living so close made me wonder if he'd be back after today. He was here now, and that was all that mattered, even if it was only because he felt guilty for forgetting my party. Okay, I finally conceded and entered the house, shrugging out of my coat and hanging it on the hook mounted next to the door. My mom glanced at us from the kitchen, tossing us a quick grin before curling over the book she was reading at the dining table. Without hesitation, Rook followed me down the hall. At least the house was clean and smelled fresh. My room was small, like the rest of our house, and only had space for my twin-sized bed and a dresser that was much nicer than the other furniture, since we'd brought them with us when we moved. Rook plopped down in the beanbag chair, making himself comfortable.
"What do you want to play?" I asked.
He tilted his head as he considered it.
"You have NBA Jam?"
I snorted. Do I look like someone who owns that? His gaze raked me over, likely taking in the fact that I was short and scrawny with braces just before he chuckled, a sound I was beginning to appreciate.
Fine, put whatever in.
My gaming system was stacked on top of the boxy TV centered on my dresser. Cracking open a case, I retrieved my favorite game and plopped it into the console. I snatched the pair of controllers from beside the system and passed Rook one before settling on my bed. When the screen loaded, revealing Ridge Racer, I glanced at him, already sensing my victory. He gave me a smug smile.
You're still gonna get beat.
It was my turn to flash him a cocky grin as I settled against my pillows.
You wish.
His eyes narrowed in challenge.
Guess we'll see.
The game was slow to load, and Rook took the opportunity to interrogate me.
So, you just moved here, what, a week ago?
Yep. The pee popped on my lips. Rook cocked his head.
What's your story? What do you mean? Why'd you move to Blakefield, of all places?
I swallowed hard, and my chest tightened as my smile faded.
My parents got a divorce. And my mom's family lives here.
He studied me silently and must have sensed my discomfort because he switched the topic.
"We have science together,"
he said as if I didn't already know. And a wave of relief washed over me.
"We do?"
I feigned surprise. He glared at me until I grinned.
"I know, dork, you gave me my book the first day."
"Just checking your memory."
He glanced back at the screen, where it appeared the game was stuck at 98% loaded. A glitch that got on my nerves. With a sigh, I got up, restarted the stupid thing, and then plopped back down on my bed. He apparently wasn't done with the Inquisition.
"Who are you hanging out with?"
"No one." I shrugged and hoped he'd drop that line of questioning, too. He didn't. Instead, he frowned.
"Why not?"
"I thought we were playing Ridge Racer, not 20 questions." The last thing I wanted to do was get into my family drama. He held his hands up just as the game finally cooperated and opened the home screen.
"Let's do this."
Rook chuckled.
"Don't say I didn't warn you."
"Don't be mad when you have to admit defeat," I retorted while struggling to contain a matching laugh. My room seemed to warm with Rook's presence. It was the most comforting feeling I'd had in weeks. I soaked it in, already dreading when he'd leave. It would likely be the last time I held his attention. After 10 straight losses, Rook finally conceded that he stood no chance.
"Dude, is this game rigged?"
He didn't appear upset, and a teasing grin stretched his lips.
"Pfft,"
I smiled back.
"That's all skill."
When my mom came in bearing a large 3-meat pizza, we gorged on the entire thing before switching games, where he managed to win once. A fact he gloated over until the next round when I made a comeback. By the time he stood to leave, I was surprised at the time glowing red on the clock. It was late, and Rook had stayed for hours.
"I gotta go. My dad's probably already looking for me and is gonna be mad. He thought I'd..."
His lips clamped shut, hiding whatever he was going to say. But I already knew. His parents had no idea he'd be out so late, because Rook hadn't planned to attend my party.
"Why didn't you just call him?" I wondered aloud.
Rook shrugged as he stretched his arms over his head and yawned.
"I didn't want him to make me come home."
Warmth filled my chest as I propped up on my elbows and looked up at him.
"You won't get in trouble?"
"Maybe. I'm not worried about it, though. The worst they'll do is ground me."
Rook sounded so casual about it that I believed him, which confused me. He'd chosen to hang out with me even though he might get in trouble? Why? I scooted off the bed and pushed from the firm mattress to my feet. Quietly, we made our way back to the front of the house, bypassing my mom's bedroom. Her light was on, door slightly ajar. She sat curled in bed, still reading, and didn't so much as look up when we passed by. Once we stepped into the shadows onto the creaky porch, I stuffed my hands in the pocket of my pants and shivered from the brisk wind. I cleared my throat.
"Thanks for pretending."
He froze halfway through lifting his hood over his head, dropping it back down.
"What do you mean?"
"That you came for the party,"
I whispered in case my mom had come out of her room.
"Noah, what are you..."
He studied my face, and his shoulders sagged in defeat.
"How did you know?"
I grinned. "For one, you didn't bring a present." A crooked smile appeared on his lips.
"I was sort of hoping you'd be cool with an IOU. But honestly, I don't remember being invited."
My shoulders shook in silent laughter I hadn't known I was even capable of anymore.
"Because I didn't invite anyone."
His brows shot up.
"Why?"
I shrugged.
"Because I don't know anyone."
He cocked his head, studying me again.
"At lunch on Monday, you sit with me."
"I couldn't do that. Rook was always surrounded by the popular kids, and that just wasn't me."
"I'm good." "You will, or I'll pull you in your chair from that empty table you seem to like so much over to mine."
He threatened while crossing his arms over his chest.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?